Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and you are in for a treat today. So sit back and listen and learn. No calls today. This is a pre-recorded new content broadcast just for you. And we're so excited to bring back a friend of Take Two's. He's just a wonderful priest. We know him, we love him, we trust him, and we have him for the entire hour talking about interior peace. Okay, so you want more peace in your life? I think this is the show you need to listen to. So let's not waste any more time, and let me introduce our wonderful guest back to the show, Father Doug Brown. He is the pastor of Mary Queen of Peace Parish in Cleveland, Ohio. He's also the chaplain for the Fire and Police, and he's also the chaplain for AM 1260 The Rock, right there, the affiliate in Cleveland, Ohio. So we're so glad to have you back, Father Brown. Thank you so much for being with us, and we hope we walk away with this hour with a lot more interior peace.
That's our goal, and I'm really happy to be here with you, Debbie, and with everybody who's listening. Interior peace is it seems like difficult to get, especially in these days where news is tumultuous and there's so much happening, and it seems like we careen from one news story to another to another crisis, either it's personal or it's in, you know, the public eye. And we have to strive to maintain that interior peace, and that's what this is all about this hour. So mm-hmm. I'm really happy here. I believe very strongly that anybody can find interior peace.
So I have to ask you this, Father Brown, just because you're the chaplain for the firefighters and the police in Cleveland. Does this come up a lot? Because I understand that in those kinds of professions, in firefighting and being a police officer, there's a lot of stress. And there's a lack of peace because they're always moving and trying to, you know, take care of something very quickly. Do you find that a lot as you are ministering to them?
Absolutely. And it's what becomes difficult is that when a police officer or a firefighter is going home after their shift, that you have to flip a switch to say, I don't have to be on high alert. I don't have to always be, you know, what police often say is you put your head on a swivel, which means you're constantly looking around you. You're always on guard. And that's hard to switch off if you've been doing it for a 12-hour shift, as our officers do here in Cleveland. It's really difficult to do. So you have to find a way to tap into that interior peace. Otherwise, you're going to be exhausted, and you'll never be ready for your next shift because you've spent all this time trying to come down from the shift that you just got off of. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a very much a problem and something that people need to work at. Interior peace doesn't just come to you. You have to work at it.
Right, right. You know, I know they do long hours, the police officers and firefighters, but I wonder if there's any Catholic that are in that profession that they, if they go to maybe like a 24-hour adoration chapel or something for 10 minutes just to kind of just settle down and connect with God and just, you know, kind of reflect on the day before they go home. I'm wondering if any of them make a chapel visit.
I know that some do. I know that's really important to them. What I see more often is that drive home becomes an opportunity to decompress and to try to find that interior peace. And so that drive home becomes sort of a mobile chapel, if you will, in which they may be playing Gregorian chant, or they may be listening to Catholic radio, or they may be praying the Holy Rosary. And in that time going home, I know many officers have found that prepares them to enter the door. I even know some officers who maybe have a shorter drive, but will just sit in the car in the driveway for a period of time before going into the house, because they want to be able to find that peace before they go back into their home situation, which sometimes is also tumultuous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's not just with the firefighters or the police officers. I remember being in the hospitality industry, Father Brown, and after a long shift at the hotel, I mean, you're just kind of hyped up, and you got all this adrenaline, and you know, and then you get off of work at 11:30, 12 o'clock, and you're like, I got to go home. I just have all this energy. I don't know what to do, and that's usually when trouble happens because you end up going to an after hours place or something like that. Yeah, and it can happen with other occupations as well. But Father Brown, let's start at the beginning. What exactly is, or what should we be looking for when we are trying to get to that place of an actual interior peace?
So certainly we need to first, you know, look at sacred scripture, right? Mm-hmm. And the best example of interior peace is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And when the apostles are on a boat in the midst of a storm, and the boat is rocking, the waves are high, and where is Jesus? Asleep on a cushion. And they wake him up. They say, you know, don't you care that we're drowning? And he says, you know, what are you worried about? You know, I'm here, and everything's fine. And the waters were immediately calmed. And so I love that image because it does feel like we're on that boat a lot of times, Debbie. You know, it feels like that we are being rocked by the waves of life. And it can be scary. It can be very frightening. And I don't want to minimize that. You know, I don't want to say, well, just get over it. Because I acknowledge that there are some very traumatic things that our listeners, our Take-Two family, may be going through. Some things are very difficult that make interior peace very hard to find. But when you're in the midst of that storm, it's hard to see that there is peace waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Like the apostles, they thought it was the end for them. They were in that boat. They thought that they were going to capsize and maybe drown. And Jesus was there, and he calmed the waters. Sometimes we have to let him calm the waters in our lives.
Wow. We have to remember that. That's why it's so important for us as Catholics, Father Brown. I say this all the time. I know we hear scripture at the masses, and that's very, very important. But it's important for us to dust off our Bibles at home and really get into the living Word of God, because this, especially in the world we live in, you know, we're being faced with all of these threats and exterior things that are coming at us. We've got to get centered on a regular basis, and we've said that many times to listeners of Take Two. Please break open your Bibles and your catechism, right?
Absolutely, and that's where you're going to find those things that are going to help bring you peace. So, you know, occasionally someone will come up to me and say, Father, you know, I keep losing my temper. I get so angry. You know,
well, wait a minute. Hold that temper right there, Father Brown, because you hear that music. Real quickly, we're gonna hit the pause button. We're more with Father Doug Brown from Cleveland, Ohio, pastor of Mary Queen of Peace, when we come back on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thank you so much for tuning in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is a pre-recorded broadcast. We want to thank our producer, Charles Berry, for putting this together. Father Doug Brown is with us. He's the pastor of Mary Queen of Peace in Cleveland, Ohio, and we just love having him on Take Two. He's kind of a regular contributor to Take Two, and we are so appreciative to all the work that he does for us. But before we get back to our great conversation we're having about interior peace, let me just share with our listeners, if you have the MyTuner app, you can listen to EWTN Radio's live stream. Open the MyTuner app and search EWTN. Okay, it's that simple. So, Father, please forgive me. You heard the music. We had to hit the pause button. So if you can just rewind a little bit, because I want to have you finish your thought about you were saying that people say things to you about temper.
Well, yeah, they say, I keep losing my temper and I get so angry. And I'll say, well, what's making you angry? I sit and I watch the news and I'm yelling at the TV and I'm so mad about this. I said, I have an easy solution for you. Stop watching the news. Oh, no, Father, no, I can't. Yes, you can. Stop watching the news.
Right.
I said, or limit your time watching. When you see yourself getting angry, then turn it off. You know, we're gluttons for punishment sometimes. And we really need, if we really want interior peace, there are some things we have to do. And sometimes we have to know what are our triggers, those things that just frustrate us or make us angry, and either come to accept those as something that is meant to purify our souls, or then disregard them.
Mm-hmm. What about when people say, if you turn off the TV or you don't want to listen to the news, you're just in denial, you're just being ignorant of what the reality is of the world, and that's not responsible? Because I've heard that too. Some people say, oh yeah, you're just running away from the reality.
Yeah, head in the sand, I've heard, you know, those types of things. But I believe we can still be aware of what's happening without allowing the news to just be so frustrating for us to listen to or to watch. And certainly, Debbie, we have a great resource with Catholic Radio. I mean, you know, EWTN News every night at 9 o'clock. You want to watch some kind of news that's probably not going to make you overly angry? Watch that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we agree. Absolutely.
So there are ways.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're the chaplain for AM 1260 The Rock, and so you know that quite well, being so involved with The Rock station in Cleveland, so absolutely. But Father, let me ask you this. So interior peace, you talked about the disciples in the boat, and then Jesus said, you know, what are you all worried about? You know, I'm right here. Okay, but that's something that's coming at them, or is coming, or I should say, let's apply it to us. It's coming at us from the outside. So the fears that we may feel, you know, if we trust in Jesus, that would alleviate that. That'll bring peace, right? What about this fact about how we can be so hard on ourselves that we disrupt our peace? We do it on our own. Nobody's doing it to us. Mm-hmm. We just make our lives miserable because we don't think we're worthy enough. What about that?
Oh, you're right. And so, you know, too often we spend our time, and Mother Angelica, she really keyed in on this so many times throughout her life and in her speaking. Too often we spend our time either living in the past, rehashing things from the past, going over past regrets, or worrying about the future, looking at the future, caught up in what the future is going to bring. And we ignore the present moment. We ignore today. And when we find ourselves either in the past or in the future, and we find it bringing us, you know, making us anxious and making us concerned and worried, then stop doing that. Look at today. God has given us this day as a gift. Do we want to waste this day away with endless worry and concerns and regrets? Or do we want to try to use this day that is a gift for God? That's what we have to try to shoot for. So that's my best advice. When you find yourself your own worst enemy, take a look. Okay, what is worrying me? What is bothering me? What am I so anxious about? Is it something that has happened in the past or something I have no control over in the future? Okay, let me come back to today.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you should say that, Father Brown, because I've mentioned it many times on Take Two that we have to almost play like a mental trick with ourselves. We have to say, you know, we have today, God could call us home at any moment, and we better make the most of this, because why are we wasting, you know? And I go back to Carlo Acutis, blessed Carlo Acutis, how he didn't waste any time. That's why even when he died, when he was 15 years old, he said to his mom, I haven't wasted a single second. So right. he knew that at 15 years old. The rest of us are in our 50s, 60s, 70s, and you know, it's taking us a lifetime to learn it. But you're so spot on, and we have to almost set the stage every single morning. You know, it's interesting, Father. Every morning now, I'm going to be 59 this year, and every morning I wake up, and of course I say the guardian angel prayer, because saying the prayer acknowledges the angel's role, and that brings delight to God, and so the angels are hopefully active in my life. Okay, then I move on to reminding myself, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then I will say to myself, I really will in my head, Debbie, this could be your last day on earth, okay? Make it a good one. You know, and I actually go through this ritual, and I find that I have the most incredible, peaceful, you know, fun, a lot of laughter, but just beautiful day.
Those aren't morbid thoughts. You know, some people might say, oh gosh, what a morbid thought. No, because it does help you. It reminds you that, you know, nothing is promised to us beyond this day, nothing at all. And so we need to figure out, okay, what can I do today that can help impact? You know, our number one goal needs to be to get our soul to heaven. So how can I help my soul get to heaven? It's not by finding ourselves upset and worried and anxious, but it's in finding that peace, the peace that can only be found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, Father. You brought up scripture, and I just wanted to go to John 14, 27, where Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, okay? I do not give to you as the world gives. and yes. do not let your hearts be troubled. And isn't it so interesting? We search for so many things that bring us, quote unquote, peace in this world, and they're not bringing us peace.
No.
They're not. And so the peace we're going to find is in Christ. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we will be.
Absolutely. And that's where the secret to peace lies, is looking toward Christ and growing in trust and in love for him, and trying to, you know, to say, like, what do I have control over? And what don't I? What can I impact in my life? And what's going to impact my daily life? And not saying that we get you know, parochial or you know, kind of closed off, but that we also say, you know, this isn't going to impact me. This isn't going to impact my life. Why am I so upset?
Yeah. Wow. There's so much to say about this, because as you were talking, Father, I was just thinking about all these examples that come in to Take Two from the Take Two family, and they share their life story and what's going on in their life. People are dealing with a lot. I mean, we're living in a world where they're not just working on one thing; they're working and having things come at them like in droves. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, we hardly ever heard of people having cancer at all. Now we have people that have two and three cancers. And
you're right.
Yeah, it's really, everything has multiplied so much and is heightened in that area that it's hard sometimes. And you can feel like your peace is being, you know, pulled away from you so easily. Like, and then you wait for the other shoe to drop, right? And you're thinking, okay, well, I'm found a little bit of peace now. What could happen? Something's going to happen. I just know it. Because, and so you, it's this vicious cycle, right?
Absolutely, it is. And again, we go back to the fact that we can be our own worst enemy. And we can say things like, you know, oh, well, you know, something bad's going to happen, or, you know, prepare for the worst, because then you'll be ready. We don't want to do that, because what kind of way is that to live, Debbie? You're always preparing for the worst. We have to acknowledge that God showers many graces upon us, and that whatever happens in our lives, to us, to our loved ones, in the world, is for the good of our immortal soul. And so we have to look at, you know, okay, how can this help me grow in peace and love and trust in God? How can my immortal soul be saved through this experience that either I'm going through, or an experience that maybe doesn't directly impact me but causes me a lot of distress? How does this impact my immortal soul? Because that's eternal. That's forever,
yeah.
Right? Our bodies are wasting away. Our souls are not. That's where we should be most concerned about our souls.
You know, it's interesting, Father Brown. You were on the Spirit World with Adam Bly. We did that show on confession. And And Adam talks about this all the time when he does the exorcism work that he does on a weekly basis, of how many people hold on to unforgiveness. And that's and how that's going to land people in a long time in purgatory, this holding on to all this hatred and unforgiveness. And I don't know how you can actually have a sense of peace and interior peace when you have a lot of hate, right? If you have all these feelings of you want to get back at people, you dislike them, you're not willing to forgive them, or even past regrets about things, it's very hard to carry a sense of peace when you're feeling those other things.
Sure it is, absolutely. And I tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, how do I know when I've forgiven? I said, because, you know, forgiveness, like all of this, like interior peace, it doesn't just wash over us. It doesn't just suddenly come to us and say, oh, now I've got interior peace, or, oh, now I've forgiven this person. It's not how it works. We have to work at those things. We have to make an attempt. We have to try to forgive. We have to try to achieve interior peace. Things don't just come to us automatically. They take some work. Forgiveness, I say, you know, you'll know you've forgiven somebody when the thought and the possible reality of the person who hurt you or betrayed you or whatever, the person you can't forgive, when the thought of that person's soul being in heaven with your soul forever, if that doesn't make you angry, then you forgive them.
Oh, that's a good one. So when the thought of that person, so you, if somebody hurt you and you're carrying
yes.
all this unforgiveness, and when you have the thought that they could be in heaven, their soul with yours, and it doesn't make you cringe, then you know, you know you've mastered the, you've forgiven them, right? Okay.
Yeah. You've forgiven them.
Yeah, that's a good one, Father Brown. We're speaking with Father Doug Brown. He's the pastor of Mary Queen of Peace in Cleveland, Ohio. We're so glad he's with us. He's talking about interior peace. I'm sensing, Father, because you picked this topic, that are you getting a lot of people that are coming to you as pastor that they're just struggling with this?
Yes, I am. Again, as you know, when we open the show, there's so much happening in the world today that it's easy to find ourselves in a state of distress. And it's almost like the waves of the sea in which the apostles were on that boat, because it's like one will come, and then as soon as it goes past us, then there's another one right behind it. And it seems like relentless, and we're battered by stress and by, you know, difficult situations, difficult people. We're just battered by it. It just keeps hitting us over and over, something new. And I am finding that. The people who are at my parish, the people who I work with in safety forces, it's tough. It is tough. And I want to acknowledge that. Again, I said earlier, and I say it again, I do not want to minimize the things that people are going through. And Debbie, you've said the same thing here, that, you know, we acknowledge that times can be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Do not want to minimize that. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like that.
Well, you know, Father, you and I, we get to co-host the pledge drive together for The Rock twice a year, and we talk off air about kind of some things that we're going through or some things that we're dealing with in life. And it's very interesting, because people will say to me all the time, how come you seem so happy? And, you know, how come you're laughing all the time? How come you're joking around? And honestly, I will say, because if I'm not laughing, I'd be crying, because I got so much going on, you know. And it's true. I think everybody's got a lot on their plate. They're dealing with a lot. But it's really, I think, don't you think, Father, it's the way we look at this life, it's the way we perceive everything, and then what we're focusing on is really the key. Because I know with the you keep mentioning about the apostles in the storm in the boat with Jesus. You know, if we focus on Jesus, then the storm doesn't matter. If we focus on Jesus, then the fear doesn't matter. But if we focus on the storm and the fear and everything else, then it becomes so overwhelming.
I agree 100%. And that, you're right. We got to keep our eyes on Christ. The other classic example is St. Peter, as he walked across the water toward mm-hmm. Christ. When he took his eyes off of him, what happened? He sunk into the water.
Right. Right. It's interesting you should say that too, because on The Chosen, that scene, apparently more people commented about that scene. It hit them so deep into their soul as they watched it.
I believe it. It's mm-hmm. It's very powerful, and it's so easy to forget, Debbie. We, you know, sometimes we think the crisis we're going through right now is like the most important thing in the entire world to anybody and to ourselves. And then when it passes, we're like, oh, I guess that wasn't that big of a deal. But mm-hmm. but we're in the midst of things. They can just seem monumental.
Right, right. Well, and we got to get bigger than the storm, above the storm.
And that's right.
That's why I say, Jesus, I trust in you like 1,000 times a day. It's so very important. But this pre-recorded broadcast is brought to our Take Two family because we care. And these are a lot of the comments that you have written in about and that are going on in your life. And it's important for us. This is what Take Two is all about. It's for the lay faithful to come together and to journey together on that road to holiness, on that road to sainthood. And we do it together as the body of Christ, and we support each other, and we educate and inform, and that's a big deal. That's a huge deal, and we're so grateful for this platform, and we're grateful to Father Brown that he's able to spend the entire hour with us. But you hear that music, Father? We're going to hit the pause button again, and we'll come back for the final segment of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, talking about interior peace. Now, if you got something so far out of this broadcast, stay tuned, and then share it with a friend. Please do that. We're talking interior peace today. We all need a little bit more peace. Yep, We sure do. And we're speaking with our dear friend, Father Doug Brown from Cleveland, Ohio. And Father Brown, on this final segment, what would you like to discuss with our Take Two family? What do you want to leave with our Take Two family so that they can start today and start practicing some of the things you said? Turn off, you know, if something's irritating you on the news, turn it off, you know, remove yourself. If nobody's holding you there, you can remove yourself from the situation. Anything else you want to? I've made some notes, by the way, Father. I'm listening to everything you say.
I figured you would. You know, there are some real practical things we said. You know, remove that stimulation that's making you angry. Focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in the past or in the future. You know, live in the present moment. Live for today. Those are three very practical things that you can do today. You can say, you know what, I do want interior peace. And you have to be serious when you say you want it, because it doesn't just come to you. If I've said it once, I've said it a dozen times this hour. Interior peace won't just wash over you. You got to work for it. Those are three very practical tips that you could do to achieve interior peace today. And this can be yours today. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want the opportunity to say, you know, those things aren't going to bother me. Those things that are going on are just not going to, they're not going to get to me. I'm going to be able to get through this. I'm focused on today, the great gift that God has given me, and I'm grateful for it. So this can be yours today. And that's great. What an exciting opportunity for people listening.
You know, it's so interesting, Father. I'm trying, you know, the beauty of Take Two is we cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we always, you know, we cover all angles of things. So I'm trying to think about, like, the last time I came out of going to confession, I really did feel that sense of interior peace, you know, as I left the confessional. And then I hit the world, and within 10 minutes, that peace was gone. What do you say to people that happens? I mean, that's why some people say, I just want to live at church, because at least I can feel a little peace.
Well, I mean, you know, you see the same thing then, you know, when Sunday Mass ends, and, you know, go in peace, and the people all leave, and then they're in the parking lot honking their horns and cutting each other off. I mean, really?
I know.
So we have to, again, what's important? What's important, and what can we be able to determine as the things that we may think, oh, what an awful situation I'm going through. How terrible is this? May turn out to be the best thing for our immortal soul. It may be the best thing to help us get through that moment. You know, and I think I've told this story before, Debbie, and if I have, then forgive me, but the story about the guy driving down the highway, and there were three trucks in front of him, and they wouldn't let him through. They wouldn't let him pass. They were right side by side by side. He couldn't get through, and he couldn't get through, and he's frustrated, and he's honking his horn, and he's got somewhere to be. He wants to get by these trucks. And finally, one of the trucks, you know, slides over a little bit. And in front of those three trucks was a car driving very erratically, as if it were a drunk driver. So, you know, those things that we think are, you know, just terrible inconveniences for us, maybe the best thing for us. We have to trust God to allow him to show us the good. And sometimes I ask him to do that. Say, God, show me the good in this situation. I know it's there. Show me the good. And he will.
So then, in order to achieve that peace, we got to work on our trust.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you're saying we have to work at it.
Yeah, and again, in acknowledging that the things that we may find to be difficult to deal with in our lives may actually be gifts from God. Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult. There was a movie probably 10 years ago now, maybe 15 years ago, called In Two Great Silence, and it was, you know, kind of a tedious movie, but it showed the life of monks. I don't know if you remember this, Debbie, very little dialogue. Beautiful movie, though. And at one point, they interview this monk who is blind. He was struck blind late in life. And he says, I thank God for this blindness. I thank him for this. This is a great gift from him. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, having
so
had...
that's what we have to get to.
Yeah, and you and I have both had eye situations, so I don't know if I could ever get to that place, but wow.
I agree with that. I agree. And, you know, could I... If, and I thought about that movie a lot in that scene. like I said, there's very little dialogue, but there's a little bit of dialogue of that scene. And that monk just says how happy he, he said, this is a great gift.
Okay, that is real trust for God.
It really is. And that's where we need to reach. That's where we need to be. And that sense of just saying, I'm riding the waves of life.
Okay.
Sometimes it's rough, sometimes it's calm. But through it all, God is with me.
Amen to that, Father Brown. Okay, let me ask you another question, because what about this idea? I touched upon it a little bit at the beginning of this episode about this idea of feeling that we're not worthy, we're damaged, where we have all these sins, even though we confessed them, we have all these past situations that we're just not going to measure up. I mean, how do you carry that interior peace when you're feeling so bad about yourself?
We have to look to the saints. The saints, many of them did not live the life of a saint until they finally realized, this is not how I'm supposed to live. This is not what God has in store for me. This is not what God's planning for me in my life. St. Augustine is one of the classic examples. He lived a wayward life. And his mother prayed him to faith. He was baptized, became a bishop. He's a saint. His writings have been so influential in the church. And so when we look at that, when there's so many things in our lives that we feel like, I'm a rotten person. The things I've done are terrible. But that there's the old saying, every saint was a sinner once. And so we have to acknowledge that we're all sinful. We all carry around with us things that we've done that we're ashamed of. Everybody has. Mm-hmm. I've heard thousands of confessions in my priesthood, and everybody has something that they're ashamed about. Something that they just feel is unforgivable. But God does forgive us. His mercy endures forever. That's the response at the end of each confession. I'll say something along the lines of, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
And
wow.
That's what I tell people, that we have to remember that. He doesn't hold these past sins against us, except for, if there's still a temporal punishment due, but he doesn't. We shouldn't allow those to control us.
Yeah. So that's again another daily reminder that we have to do and share with ourselves, right? We have to constantly remind ourselves, because if we don't, the world is gonna overwhelm us. I mean, we know that the negativity out there and the demons and everything, there's just so much coming at us and against us that we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's very important. And it's not like an egotistical thing or a prideful thing. It's just trying to get ourselves back to where we how God sees us, right, Father?
Absolutely. And so God loves us. We're created in his image. And God wants us to be in heaven. This isn't like God is trying to find reasons for us not to go to heaven. God wants us to be there with him forever. He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't look at heaven as like the impossible exam that we're never going to pass. We are going to, and God will ensure that, but we have to follow his holy will. We have to acknowledge that things happen in life. And there's two wills of God, right? There's the ordained will that shows to us in through scripture, Ten Commandments, the things that he says, these are the things that I want you to do. And then there's his permissive will, the things that he allows to happen. So could God solve the issue of poverty in this country or unrest or whatever? Could he end all the wars in the world? Absolutely he could. But he does. He permits them to happen. Sometimes because we need to learn a lesson from it. Sometimes because we deserve some kind of punishment. Sometimes because it helps us grow in love and trust for him.
Mm-hmm. And he works all things for the good so that there's some extraordinary things, some miraculous things that have come out of really, really tragic situations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely they have. And I've seen it time and time again. Mm-hmm. But if we don't trust God, we'll never see that good. We won't see it. We'll remain bitter and resentful.
Right. Right, and angry with God, and then there you go. The demons are opportunists. They know when to go in and say, "Okay, you're angry with God. Now they have a shot at you."
Absolutely, that's what they want. Mm-hmm. Distance us from God, separate us from God, and then it makes it easier for a demon to influence us, tempt us, And then once we fall into a state of mortal sin, we've lost that friendship with God. And it won't be restored till we go to confession.
Right. Right. We don't want to break that friendship with God. And that's why the sacrament of reconciliation, it's a healing sacrament. It's so powerful for us. And that's why people should go to confession whenever they can. Father Brown, in this final portion of this episode of Interior Peace on Take Two, let's talk about this, about toxic people in your life. You know, people, over the years, over the 9.5 years pretty much of Take Two, so many of our Take Two family members have written in and they've said, you know, we hear what you guys are saying on Catholic radio, we understand it, but, you know, I have this person in my life, my sister, my son, my daughter, my spouse, you know, they're toxic. They're just, I can't seem to be happy around them. There's no way I'm going to carry any sense of peace being with that person. What do you suggest? Because, you know, some priests will say, you know, God does not want you to, you know, break relationships. Some priests will say, well, you know, for your mental sanity, you know, you got to distance yourself or put up boundaries. I mean, what do you say, Father Brown?
I mean, I think it's a combination of all of that and how you deal with toxic people and how best to be able to find your own peace, even in the midst of, you know, when you're surrounded by people that are toxic to you. So, you know, so many times someone will come to see me and say, my spouse is disagreeable. My spouse is, you know, so difficult to talk to. My spouse is almost mean to me. My spouse doesn't care. And I'll say, your spouse is helping you to get to heaven. What? What do you mean by that? Because your spouse is helping you to grow in patience and unconditional love and in trust. That's what your spouse is helping you to do. Those are all qualities and virtues that we need to get to heaven. So, I mean, again, I don't want to, of course, minimize. There are some very difficult marriages, difficult situations. I get that. I get all that. And I've worked with people through those situations. But there are many times when people are just disagreeable that we have to acknowledge and realize that, you know, they're helping us to become better. That they're helping us to get to heaven. That person is helping us. My spiritual director in the seminary used to tell me, when I complained, like, this person makes me nuts. And he would say, you know what? Until you learn to deal with that person, he's going to keep coming up to you again and again and again throughout your life. You've got to learn to deal with that person. He'll come up to you in different forms, different people. But yeah, that same thing that bothers you is going to bother you forever until you learn how to understand it, acknowledge it, deal with it, and use it for your good.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that so many times, Father, in the coaching ministry that we do, Jerry and I do. Mm-hmm. People will come to us and they'll say, you know, I ran away from this person and I just went into the arms of somebody else and that person's the same exact person. Yeah. It's the same situation, only the characters are different, you know? And it's so interesting how God will serve up those same opportunities, if you will, for us to grow in virtue, right, and to grow in holiness, and yet we run from it because it can be painful or uncomfortable, and so it's very interesting when you look at it, and especially when you talk to somebody who's lived a long life and they're looking back and they can see how it's always been the same situation, only the players have changed.
Right, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So we have to. Learn how, you know, learn why those people are in our lives. There's nothing coincidental, right, Debbie? I mean, people enter into our lives and exit out of our lives, and God is always present through all of that. And so there's no coincidence.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Father Doug Brown, and we're so happy he's back with us on Take Two. He visits us throughout the year, and our Take Two family, you guys love Father Brown, and we do as well, and we're so glad he made time. He's a busy, busy pastor and priest. He's a chaplain of the fire and police and AM 1260 The Rock, so this is a special hour on Interior Peace, and we hope you're getting a lot out of it. Did I call you Dr. Brown? I said Father Brown, right?
Brown.
I did, yeah. Well, you just sound so, I mean, you just, I don't know, you almost have that. Do people say that about you, that you seem like almost, do you have a counseling background?
No, I don't really. I don't. I mean, just aside from what we learned in the seminary and gotcha. Working with people. But, you know, so much of what priests receive is through the grace of the orders, of holy orders, and also through their experiences as you begin to help people. You know, just a side note that sometimes somebody say, why would you talk to a priest about marriage? He doesn't know anything about marriage. And I say to that person, you're an expert on your marriage. I can be an expert on all marriages, just as if a doctor doesn't need to have every disease to know how to treat them. Same thing with a priest.
Right, right. Well, you've heard so many stories, because I'm sure you've heard it in the confessional. I'm sure you've heard it just being a pastor, people telling you what's going on with their marriages. Plus, you had your own, you grew up in a family, so you saw marriage. Yeah.
Exactly right. So that's not a realistic criticism.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what, Debbie?
Go ahead.
I don't let it bother me. I have peace.
We're going to keep the peace. That's right.
Right.
So, Father, let me just share with our Take Two family this, just to remind our listeners, because we were talking about how we are a sacrament-rich church, and it's so important to frequent the sacraments, to attend Mass. But if you can't physically get to Mass, here's something we just want to remind our listeners. Join us every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel live every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And don't miss out. We can send a link to your email inbox every day. All you have to do, folks, is visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. And if you have any comments after you listen to this particular episode, you can always leave your comments at Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. And Charles Beery, our producer, we pick up all those comments. You can visit our prayer wall at take2show.com. You can always email us, take2@EWTN.com. I just want to make sure that our listeners know how to reach us, because, Father, what you're saying today, I think, is really helping a lot of souls, and it's very important. In the final few minutes that we have, with this, I tell you, I think this is the quickest hour in radio. It goes so fast.
It always is.
Yeah, it's so fast. But anything else you want to share with our listeners about interior peace, Father?
Well, I mean, so again, we're looking at very practical ways to achieve interior peace. And Debbie, you just reminded me of one of the most important ones. The most important thing I do every day is celebrate Mass. And so you're looking for interior peace, go to daily Mass. Daily Mass, and you know this, Debbie, daily Mass is such a different vibe, right? Mm-hmm. A different feeling than Sunday Mass. It's smaller, you know, less attended, usually quieter, more introspective. Some people tell me, like, I love the daily Mass. I'd rather go to daily Mass than Sunday. Well, that's not how things work at the church. But you want another way for interior peace? Go to daily Mass. It's a great, great way to start your day or end your day if you have an evening Mass where you are.
Mm-hmm. Father, let me ask you this, tapping into the graces. So when we frequent the sacraments, when we go to Mass, when we're praying the rosary, when we're going to adoration, the graces are there for all of us. They're available for all of us, but we're tapping into those graces. Now, those graces will help us keep this interior peace, correct?
Absolutely, they will. Yeah, as long as we stay, in a state of grace. We keep our soul out of mortal sin. So, yes, absolutely, those graces help us find peace. They help to allow us to see God in everything, and that God's presence is always with us all the time through every storm. God is there. And so those graces are a huge help to us. And receiving them through the sacrament is a great way to grow in grace, to allow your soul to be nourished by that grace. Your soul needs grace. It really does. And so what better way to get it than through the sacrament?
Yeah, that's true. And I go back to Blessed Carlo Acutis again, when he would say going to Mass every day, praying the rosary every day, going and visiting Jesus every day, or as many times as he possibly could in his 15 years, because he was going to school, it brought him really, really, like, unbelievable clarity. Can you speak about that? Because I find that so interesting, that grace provides just super focused clarity and understanding of where we're headed.
Well, it seems to put everything into perspective. It seems to show, that here's what's important, here's what isn't. here's what's worthy of my attention and time and energy. Here's what isn't. Grace really helps us to be able to prioritize and to be able to then do what we need to do to get our souls to heaven. That's our number one objective, to get our souls to heaven.
So I know what the Catechism says about grace. And people could just pull it up online. It's so easy to do. Just type in CCC, Catechism of the Catholic Church on Grace. But just practically speaking, how do you describe grace to your parishioners?
Well, I mean, the classic definition is a free, unmerited gift from God. So think about what that is. Free, doesn't cost you a dime. Unmerited, meaning you don't have to do anything to get it. It just comes to you. Free, unmerited gift from God. And it's a gift. God gives it to us because he wants us. Again, he wants us to be in heaven with him forever. So he wants us to grow closer to him, to grow in holiness and sanctity. And grace helps us to do that. So sometimes we do things to receive grace, again, like receiving the sacraments, we receive grace. Other times we get grace when we need it the most. Sometimes people think it's not fair. Like, how come God doesn't give the same amount of grace to everybody?
Yeah.
That's not how he works. He gives it to you as you need it. Right. And he knows. Who else knows us better than God? And he knows what we need. And he gives us the grace we need in every situation, through every storm.
We serve such a great God, don't we?
Oh, absolutely we do. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. He's so good to us.
So, okay, so we're pretty much done with this episode on interior peace, and I hope that our Take Two family got something out of it. Please share it with your friends. We believe that's a good use of social media, and we want to thank Father Doug Brown for always being available to us, the Take Two family. He's just so special to us. And Father, your parishioners at Mary Queen of Peace in Cleveland, are so very fortunate to have you be their shepherd. I think you do a fine job, and then you wear many hats because you love Catholic Radio at AM 1260 The Rock, and then the fire and police officers. I mean, just amazing. But Father, you and I are pretty much the same age.
Yeah.
I know. So it's so interesting because when I speak to you, it's like I totally can relate. Like as you talk about things, and I just love how you share it. I pray for you that you have so many more years to be able to help souls because you have just been put in the right place. You saying yes to your vocation, I think, was just so spectacular because you're just helping so many souls. And I love that about you. And I know the Take Two family does as well. The first time you were on Take Two, this is funny. I never told you this, but I'll just share it with you in this episode. First time you were on Take Two, people were contacting us saying, where is he a pastor? And maybe I'll move there.
Oh, gosh. That's nice. Well, that's very nice. Everybody wants to come to Cleveland, don't they?
Yes. Cleveland is a beautiful place.
Not
yes.
The winter.
Yeah. But no, Cleveland, Ohio is a beautiful place. And
it is.
But Father, so we need you to stay really healthy and strong because you're wearing many hats.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, and with God's assistance, I will.
Yeah, we'll definitely pray for that. And we appreciate all you do for us. And I know you keep us in your prayers, the Take Two family, and we love that. So, Father, we're getting ready to close the show. We hope that it has helped our listeners on interior peace. We always ask clergy to impart a blessing because we believe and we want to receive those graces. So whatever blessing you can give us, Father, we so appreciate it.
Well, I'd like to proceed a blessing with these words that help me find interior peace on a regular basis. This is the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. And may the blessings of Almighty God be with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Wow. That was so beautiful. That's St. Teresa of Avila?
Yes. Yeah. It's her most famous prayer. And I can't tell you the number of times I've read that. And I'm like, you're speaking just to me, St. Teresa. I know you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's so good. We love the saints in there. And they're all there. The angels and saints are there to help us. So beautiful. Okay, you hear that music. Thank you again, Father Doug Brown from Cleveland, Ohio. Mary Queen of Peace is his parish. Thank you again, Father. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
Terrific. Great to be with you, Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Okay, that'll do it for this pre-recorded episode on Interior Peace, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We want to thank again our producer. He is fantastic. Charles Beery put this all together just for you, so share it far and wide, folks. We just love you to pieces. Love the Take Two family. Thank you to all the affiliates that carry Take Two. Until we meet again, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.